With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hello and welcome to Heroes of the Horn, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra. And friends, we are back. My gosh, the dragon has been reborn.
Yes, Ez, you sound a little better than you did yesterday.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. I took some tea. I did some herbal stuff. Again, I'm not a channeler, so... I have no one nearby that can heal me, so I'll do the best I can.
Absolutely. Yeah, guys, just kind of fun. We were going to sit down and record a few videos here for YouTube, and we said, you know, we're just going to do it live. So we got about an hour here, and we're just going to kind of do – we got about four questions we're going to be diving into today and just kind of see what happens and where we go. This is why you got to make sure if you have that bell notification on over there on YouTube, boom, you immediately see as soon as we go live. So – we were just going to record a podcast. We said, you know what? We can do this live. So, as the big question, my friend.
Yeah.
The question of the episode, I think that's going around on Twitter and everything. Is Nynaeve the dragon?
Wow. And it's a great question, right? It's a great question because she sure looks like it. I mean, we just had Loghain, who proclaimed himself to be the dragon. We have now full spoilers here. He has been gentled, my friend. Moiraine was in awe of his power. She questioned, is he the one? Are we wrong? Are we confused? Does the shadow know who the dragon is? She and Lan are trying to figure it out. So here we go in terms of them. Just, this is so important. You can't get this wrong, right? You have to find the dragon, and you don't want the dragon to turn to the shadow. The dragon needs to be allied with the tower. The beautiful job that they did, where in which Loghain was believed to be we know that it was the corruption speaking to him, right? But had individuals, former supposed dragons, speaking to him and talking to him. So it's just such a great episode. And is she the dragon? Here's the answer to that question. We don't know. We don't know. Some people want to say, no, she's not. Some people want to say, yes, she is. I'm saying the wheel weaves as the wheel wills, my friend. All right? Yes. And she may be the dragon reborn.
Yeah. Certainly, I think that the show is doing an excellent job of teasing this and getting everybody excited for it. And I do think they're doing a great job of building excitement and hype for the show. Obviously, book readers are going to come in here and say, hold on a second, Nynaeve the dragon? But I watched it with a handful of people who are watching this for the first time, and they're convinced right now that she is.
Yeah,
because they've been talking about this. Who is it? And remember, we kept seeing all this promotional material talking about it could be a male or a female. And so I think it's just a cool way of building hype and suspense for the show. I do not believe that the show will go down that drastic of a change from the books to make Nynaeve the dragon. But for to not potentially go super spoiler here, let's just say that just because you may or may not, just even if any of the characters you're following right now do or do not end up becoming the dragon, let's just say that all of them get some pretty cool powers, and all of them are very important, and the entire five of them are extremely important for the entire plot and all need to essentially be there for the final battle.
It was about all of them. That's what this story is about. It's about this whole group. And it's hinted at when Moraine says, I think it's in the Dragon Reborn, that she hasn't given enough attention and time to certain Tavirin. So again, she's confused. They're showing this in the show. The Shadow is also trying to figure it out. Which of these three? In the book, it's often these three Tavirin matter. Which one? Padon Fain is the Hound, hunting, trying to figure it out. And so we zero in on them, but even there, there's confusion. And then they split up and go separate ways. So Nynaeve was one of those who wasn't counted in, right? Who was someone who was not going to be, I mean, was taken away by a Trolloc, believed to be dead. And Moraine is now seeing, like, she just saved everyone's life. She saved all their lives. She is a total badass, 100%. And the power, we're going to talk here in a second just about Nynaeve's power level. Spoilers ahead, friends. It's massive. And they just showed that. They just went ahead and flexed on us in this episode. And it was something to behold, right?
Yeah. So before we get into this, let's just say these include crazy spoilers. Again, I think the majority of our listeners are book readers. So I don't think this should be too spoilery territory here, but we're going to dive into a little bit of power levels just to understand. Mm-hmm. And I, because there is a scale that exists that Robert Jordan, you know, made, and you can find it on the wiki. I'm not going to screen share because I don't want to totally spoil everything. If you're just sort of a show watcher here, but you know, it's interesting. One of the things that Moraine says is that when they're talking about Loghain, they're talking, Lan asks a question, is he more powerful than Egwene? Right? Mm-hmm. Which is definitely interesting and to even sort of consider that. So again, this is potential complete and 100% total spoilers here, for sort of this power scale. Now, the way it kind of works is it's kind of like golf. The lower you are, right, the better. So if you want to be like number one on the scale. So right. The scale goes all the way to number one, and then it begins to count again from six down to like +1. And that is the male side, because there's only a handful of male people who ever see channel. And then also the males are much more powerful than the women. Mm-hmm. So at level 13, right, is where you have like Suwan, who we'll see in the next episode of the show. Right, I believe, or the episode after that. We know she's in season one, who's the Omerlin seat. And then you have Moraine. So this is like your peak Aes Sedai. Right. Your pinnacle prime Aes Sedai is at this level 13 power. Then we go up quite a bit of steps. So at level 8, so you think like 8 out of however many, I think it goes all the way down. It goes all the way to 72. So at 8 of 72, and then you have the males even above that, is where we get Egwene. So do you think in the show verse, as already, do you think that Moraine right now thinks Egwene has the potential or is already more powerful than her?
Yes. Yeah, than Moraine herself?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's the whole thing. Lan keeps asking, do you know which one of them it is? Who is it? And you're just starting to test that. They're just starting to kind of figure that out, getting her to use the power with the gemstone. So then later on, when she sees Loghain, her eyes are wide. She's even more confused because now Liandrin is there. Karina, they're shielding him. They're saying, can you feel his power? Alana is like, this power is immense. Nothing like they had felt before. They're shocked by it. And she's felt Egwene. She's sensed Egwene. She's none of the other Aes Sedai know what she knows in terms of her power and finding these Ta'veren. So she actually can, is the one who can sort of compare, right? And goes in and feels Loghain's power. It's not just about the power, but it kind of is. I mean, it kind of like whoever's the most powerful, we need someone super powerful to go face the Dark One. And it's somewhat of a tell. It's somewhat of a, what somewhat of an indicator. So yeah, she sees that he's super powerful. So I think that's why she hesitates, asks that question. He's far too old. This would not fit. This doesn't work. But yeah, so she goes in and kind of does her own little power, I think, analysis, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting. I definitely think the way they're doing it right now is interesting with the teasing of who potentially will be the dragon and the way that's going to go. So ultimately, to sort of answer the question, do we think that Nynaeve will be the dragon? I guess I'm going to have to say no. I still do ultimately believe it will be Rand. But let's say, again, and I'm assuming if you're watching at this point, you are a book reader or perhaps you're a show reader. That's fine with a few things being spoiled. So we'll continue on just a little bit here. So as I was saying, so Egwene is at what is considered level 8 out of, I think, 72. So quite a bit more powerful than Moraine, who's at 13. So then we go all the way up to 3, and that's where Nynaeve is. So
crazy.
Even though Nynaeve, I don't think will end up being the dragon in the show, Nynaeve is absurdly powerful. You saw in the episode that a little bit of the anger comes out. I always joke on the podcast that she's the Hulk, right? Her power comes through her anger is when she really sort of channels. I mean, Nynaeve is in the tier of the third most powerful female channelers that exist.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, man, it's huge. I mean, that's the thing. We've already seen her early on, even with her block, be able to defeat in the books Moe Gideon and things. So we know that she's extremely powerful. Full spoilers here. We know what she does later on with her healing abilities. We know what she does with Rand, different things that involve cleansing. A lot of cool stuff that Nynaeve will do. And she is just super powerful. She's someone that you could count on. Rand needed later. So it's such a big deal. There's also this cool connection for book readers between Loghain and Nynaeve, right? That is what I think is just fantastic. That Nynaeve is there when, you know, they're almost like you're comparing Egwene at first to Loghain, and then this nobody shows up, this wisdom who has emotional connections and ties to land. Land gets hurt. She hulks out, Super Saiyan, Spirit Bomb, the whole thing, goes nuts, right? So that's super cool. He now is sitting there going like, wow, she's super powerful. I think what folks are going to look to is like, I thought Loghain was more powerful, right? People are going to say, is that not the case? And it seems like she was doing things that even he was like, whoa, I pale in comparison to that, sort of. It's what it seemed like. We didn't really hear him say that, but it was the vibe you got. Right.
But maybe the Loghain that's going right now hasn't really tapped into his full power.
Yeah, for sure. That's what we're thinking too. And also when he, you know, his arc goes on and we'll see him kind of come back into important plot points later. So yeah, maybe he, you know, his strength will grow, become more and that will be interesting to see. But right now, it's just a testament to Nynaeve. Big time testament to her. It's a show off. It's a major flex that she has these powers and she is more powerful than anybody in that room. That's the vibe I got. There was no one in that freaking room more powerful. At that moment in time than she was. Even though she has the block, right? That's the big deal. She's dealing with we'll find out later, as a wilder. She has a block and so on. So that's pretty cool. Now, Moraine is that person who will be able to, like we're trying to do here, power scale and say, yes, she's had a stare down with Rand, but she mentioned in this, like, unless they're shielded, she really couldn't get a good sense of like his power, necessarily. And she can with Egwene. So that's where Lan was, that you brought up earlier. Lan's asking that question, who's more powerful, type of thing. So
yeah, exactly. And just keep in mind, you know, they still even in this episode, they still did sort of show Matt, right, as also being a candidate, right? And we haven't really seen a lot of stuff like that. So let's actually dive into that now and let's talk a little bit about Matt's sickness, and sort of we're going to do a little bit of an explaining here for maybe some new sort of people that are kind of confused or what's going on with that. And again, this is spoiler territory because we're obviously going to go and sort of explain what's going on here a little bit. So again, sort of at your own discretion here. But so in the episode, we see Matt, he's sick. He's been a little irritated, obviously, ever since he's picked up that dagger, and now we see him sort of coughing up, spitting up this black essence, and he's got to wipe it away. So if you would dive into this a little bit and explain it for, you know, some people who are show watchers that, you know, are I guess maybe fine with a little bit of spoilers.
If you're okay with that, for sure, we'll move forward here. So again, what is happening is, if you recall, Lan, when they were trying, this is where Lan is, he's apologized a couple times, saying there's that good moment between him and Moraine where he's like, I lost them. It was my fault. Moraine was sick. He didn't know what to do. He had to protect her at all cost. He enters the city of Shadar Logoth, which was Arad Hall at one point. This was, as they said in the show, a place where Manetherin, as they said in the show, called for aid. No aid came. A darkness fell on Arad Hall, turned it to Shadar Logoth. Shadar Logoth, actually in the old tongue, is place where the shadows wait, or simply the shadows waiting. Very interesting. So when they go there, it's sort of there's this blackness. What do you want to call it? I don't even know. It's like a creeping kind
darkness,
of darkness, right? Mashadar that seemingly is tainted and affected everything. It is a darkness that is different from the Dark One's power. There's your spoiler, is that it's different. The Dark One's own army will not enter the city. They're afraid to enter the city because it's different, because there's lore behind it that it, you know, Trollocs and whole armies, and they don't stand a chance. Mashadar gonna kill them all. Like, it's not something to mess around with. So in this episode, what was really cool was to see that they're visually showing you the sickness, the dagger's taint. In the book, it's simply just that, like, he's sweating, he's growing more gaunt, he's thin, he's not eating as much, he's paranoid, paranoia takes over Matt. Now they're showing you he's actually vomiting in the show. He's vomiting up some of this black, gross, MJ Daniel said there, just kind of a gross sickness that's coming out of his mouth. We saw it coming out in this last episode. What was interesting, and I didn't notice this until, again, shout out to the Dusty Wheel, when I went and I was like, why is the fade hiding up there? Why is the fade up there? That fade is the death of that dagger. If that dagger touches your skin, it's an agonizing, terrible death. Just a nick.
Right. And it happens so quick that the first time you watch that scene, you were almost thinking, you know, it's, because they go, Rand and Tom run into the room and there's people dead, and you're thinking, oh my God, did Matt just kill these people? Because he's standing there with his dagger. And then Matt says, I see you. And then the fade comes down. And so, it happens so quickly that on a second watch, which I rewatched it this morning, that is the case, is the fade isn't moving until Tom and Rand come in and sort of cause Matt to lose his focus there a little bit.
Right, right. Because we originally think that Matt has killed them. We think he's killed these people, and it's the fade that's striking, and he's on guard. He's ready to take him out. So it's like a different type of darkness that is willing to consume anything. It's not like it's going to ally with other dark friends or no. It's its own thing. It's its own thing. Mordeath in the book is this creature. An individual who lives in Shadar Logoth, who Moraine warns us about in the books. Lan is the one warning us here because Moraine is unable to speak and unable to really give them orders and stuff like that. So so he's carried that out. He's carried that taint and he's kind of unleashed it. Essentially he's walked it out of Shadar Logoth, because it was confined kind of into that city. Mordith wanted you to take a piece of his treasure out of the city to allow him to either possess or inhabit or free him in some way. But yeah, the Trollocs, the Fades, the Murdral, they want nothing to do with that dagger, and they are very fearful of it and the power that it, you know, kind of represents. So
yeah, and I think that the dagger actually presents sort of an interesting change that will ultimately end up happening with Matt, because a lot of the characters right now were beginning, you know, they're already in the stages of becoming the characters that they will be for the, obviously, for the remainder of the show, or even in the books. Although I think that Matt sort of takes the longest to get to his sort of character arc, because he goes through this sort of sickness. We get a little bit of Matt before they leave Emmons Field in the books, and we get a little bit of it in the show, but he's already kind of changed. They made him already a little bit darker and a little more sort of willing to do whatever it takes to try and take care of his sisters, and they sort of make him a down on his luck character, and he has some bad parents, and he's willing to steal, right, to do things for his sisters. So they've altered him a little bit, and now he's got this dagger. And so what's interesting in the way they're doing it in the show is that his sickness doesn't actually make him feel that too far off of the character that he was before we see him in the show. Now in the books, he will end up becoming, you know, he's sort of a lighthearted, you know, kind of guy. He goes into taverns, he's like flirting with girls, mm-hmm. and he's a gambler. And so it's going to be interesting. And of course, we know that his Barney Harris, unfortunately, stepped out of the role. He's only going to be playing Matt in season one. And so we're going to get a new actor, which a lot of people are saying, well, if you're going to do it at any point in the series, it kind of works that they could almost write it into the show that when Matt will get healed, which I do think is going to happen much earlier than it does in the books, because it happens kind of like he gets healed a little bit and then they have to sort of do the whole thing. Is that now you have this opportunity to say, well, it actually changed him, and then you have like a different character. I don't know how they're going to handle that.
Okay. So, interesting thing, and not that they would do this, and I know they didn't probably plan for this. It seems like it was something that happened after season one. But dude, I mean, like, full spoilers here. Full spoilers, okay? At one point, Matt is like bail-fired out of existence for a hot second. You know what I mean? Like, right. And Rand brings him back. And so, yeah, people come back. So it's like, you're right. Maybe they could, you know, not that they're going to do that. But I mean, I just watched Land get his throat slit and it's almost die. And someone said it in our live stream last night, I never want to see that again. So could they do something like that with Matt? Is that something that they might try to do with the healing? Would they just say, would it be implied that once he's healed or separated from that dagger, he's changed in some way? Either way, we're going to roll with it. It's just a recasting and it'll be fine. But yeah, it's an interesting thing to see. And I don't know how much more longer he's going to have to go through. Like, are we going to separate him from the dagger in this next episode? Right. I think we're going to Tarvalin. So they might go ahead and do that, or it might plague him further on to where Padon Fain gets it in Fal'Dara. You know, he might keep it and hide it from them.
Okay. Well, we had one more question here that we were going to dive into, as which is the Birgitta doll explained. Okay. So in the episode, Matt is talking to the girl and she hands him a doll and she's talking about how it's Birgitta, right? And so I thought we would sort of explain this character, because I think for a lot of people, you're sort of just watching this for the first time and you're thinking, okay, this is a cool little doll. But the way they're handling sort of world building in this show, I think is fantastic, because this Birgitta doll, right, is this sort of, you know, obviously this girl must be hearing stories, right? She has to know who this character is. And we'll go a little bit into spoiler territory here, is that Birgitta is this sort of famous hero, right? Birgitta mm-hmm. Silverbow. Okay. And she has such a cool backstory, and I cannot wait until she will actually show up in the show as a, let me just point to it here. Let me go this way. A hero of the horn. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about her and what it means to be a hero of the horn.
Yeah, for sure. So she is, she's epic, and she's mentioned quite a bit. You know, one thing we haven't seen from Tom Marilyn yet is he does talk a lot about the heroes, the hunt for the horn and the heroes of the horn. The horn of Valyr is something that will be sounded before the last battle, and it will call these great heroes back to fight alongside the dragon. So the fact that we've mentioned one of the heroes, that's an important piece. These heroes will fight with the dragon. They will acknowledge the dragon, see him or her for who they are, and they will then fight in this. They'll be summoned by that call. They're bound to come back. So yeah, she has showed up before. The wheel spins her out. Her life is, she's someone who's ever coming back in and out of the world, and is at times reborn. She has lived many lives. But when the horn calls her back, she comes back as her, Brigitta Silverbow, and she will be there to fight. She's known as having that long braid, kind of that golden blonde hair, I believe. And then she's got her long silver bow and her arrows. So, yeah, pretty freaking cool character. And we're going to hear about more of these heroes, I bet. I bet we'll get more heroes dropped. And normally we would hear that through the Gleeman. A Gleeman's tale would talk about something like this legendary thing that would happen. What a lot of book readers and fans of the series are wondering is, will we get the horn? Are we going to get the Horn of Valyr later on at the Eye of the World? Are we going to hear more references to heroes of the horn? Are they going to do that? Is that going to be something is that hard to explain? Is there a better way to explain it? I wonder what Rafe has kind of tossed around the writer's room in terms of the heroes of the horn and the Horn of Valyr. They're a pretty big freaking deal.
Okay. Huge deal. Yeah, I do think it's possible now. You know, again, we're a little bit further into the show. We're halfway through season one. So now we can kind of really start to begin to sort of place this together. And last night we did a like 5-hour live stream. And I think we sort of came to a pretty reasonable idea in that the more, you know, before this all started, we were thinking very much that we were going to have to get through some of the Great Hunt and who knows where in order to get the pace of the show rolling. But I'm thinking now season one might just be Eye of the World, and that's fine. I think that's fine. I think there's stuff, you know, it's like the plot will end up sort of working itself out, because there's a lot you can cut later and get rid of, you know, like circus chapters, if you want to go down that route, it's unnecessary to have a lot of that filling up the show, and you can save a lot of time there. So I do think that season one's probably going to end with us going to the Eye of the World and possibly uncovering these artifacts, and then maybe that's how season two starts, and then maybe season two is just going to be the hunt for the horn. It's going to be the whole thing, and then it ends. And I do believe that you and I have both said that I think season two will be a blend of The Dragon Reborn, which is book three, and The Great Hunt, which is book two.
Right. Yeah. And you showed that great graphic about the word count last night in our live stream and where you can combine books. But for starters, we're trying to lay a really good foundation and get a lot of stuff in. And they're jam packing a lot of lore, world building and stuff, and just a lot of different factions, right? Wheel of Time factions into these episodes. And we're getting a lot of knowledge there. So yeah, I think you're probably right. I think we are going to get to the Eye of the World. There's going to be some great need that drives us there. It could be, last night we had great comments about it being a ploy to unleash the Dark One or some of the Forsaken. It could be a trap. It could be, there's going to be some changes. We don't know what they're going to be, but there's going to be something different about the Eye of the World, or how we go about finding. Again, you guys can see it on the screen here, just down below, the ancient symbol of the Aes Sedai and the dragon banner. You can see that on our screen here. Those things, like, that's at the Eye of the World. We have to go get those artifacts, and the horn is there. So the fact that they mention Brigitta Silverbow in this episode, and it's a doll, right, was cool. Was really cool. And it made me believe that, okay, they're referencing it now just to kind of, so when it comes up
for later.
Yeah, set it up for later. You want payoffs. So that's awesome. We're looking for things that we're saying we're going to get a payoff later on in terms of that character. And I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. And then she'll ultimately, and then, you know, when the horn of Valyr is blown, all the heroes of the horn have to, they are called.
Yeah.
And because the grave is no bar to their call, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, that's the thing. So the, let me just read real quick for you guys. So the horn of Valyr, little is known of how it works, but the effect is clear. When the horn is sounded, the great heroes of the pattern are summoned to the battle. They will serve the trumpeter, but always on the side of the light. We have come to the horn, but we must follow the banner and the dragon. This is Ardor Hawkwing. He explains this at the Battle of Falma. And then at the last battle again, they come in and help in the fight there. So some of these individuals is important. And we're going to need to hear about some of them. We're going to need to hear about Ardor Hawkwing, Brigitta Silverbow, Gaidel Kane, more, Jane Farstrider, so on. We're going to have to get some of these.
I think Ardor Hawkwing was mentioned.
Mentioned. Yeah, he's been. I think he has been mentioned.
So yeah, Ardor Hawkwing has been mentioned, as has Brigitta. They didn't say Brigitta Silverbow, but Brigitta has been mentioned. So they are, I think they're doing a great job so far with all of the world building, and I'm loving it so far.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. It's fantastic, and I'm excited to see them, you know, just kind of keep the little nuggets like that, bring up these conversations and have us going, where do we go next? What is coming next? And with that, actually, I want to bring up one additional thing. We had a couple of things jotted down. So another topic, two more topics for us, because I just thought of them. When are they going to introduce the Forsaken? When are we going to get name drops and references? Have we gotten any of those? We've just seen dreams. It's all been about finding the dragon versus the dark one, this big setup here. I get that. Do you think that's what this is all going to be about for a while? Like, we're probably not going to get the Forsaken mentioned in season one, because non-book readers need to just come in and know that the dark one simply, maybe at Tarvalen, they say he has servants or something.
Well, so far we've introduced the Aes Sedai, and we can see that the Aes Sedai may or may not be, like, some may be good, some may be bad. We've also introduced the White Cloaks, and we see, okay, something's up with these people. So I have a feeling that it's like, I don't know that you necessarily want to overwhelm people in 8 episodes, because it's like, oh my God, it's like you have this guy, but he's kind of good, but really he's over here. Then you have this. And so it's, you can see how that can sort of spin out of control for 8 episodes. I do believe we will begin to explain the Forsaken, and I think we'll probably see one at the end. I think just like in the book, we will fight a one at the Eye of the World, because you're going to need somebody to be that sort of that sort of villain to go down,
right,
to go down that path. So we'll have to ultimately see how it goes. But I do think we'll probably hear about one in the episode, I think it's episode 6, The Flame of Tarvalen, where it feels like, I think the episode description says that Egwene is going to face the most powerful woman in the world. So it seems like she's going to be talking to Suwan, possibly about becoming an Aes Sedai. And so I feel like that's when we'll get a lot more explained of what it is we're doing here.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. For sure. I think that's probably what is going to happen. And it would be important to have an agent of the Dark One mentioned right at the end, someone else. Right. And you can save that. You don't have to mention that now. It can be right last second, like, oh, it's not like Moraine sees this person and says, that is one of the Forsaken. Get back. Let me try to handle this.
You know? And I think you do that in episode 7, where you go into the ways and you can say, this is the Dark One. You could, I think I would amplify the ways a bit and have it not just be the Machin Shin that's chasing after them. I would have it be like, you could have it be controlled by a Forsaken, perhaps even Balzamon, the one that's already been appearing in their dreams. And then maybe we fight Balzamon at the end. Maybe you don't kill him, but maybe you just fight him and we escape or something, or you sort of push him back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe it's, you know, cause we know like Rand, has his fight at the Eye of the World, but maybe it's all of them working again, instead of the, you know, being divided by a couple Aghanor and whoever, you know, like we're fighting one person, which is the shadow figure we've been seeing, you know, and then later on you can drop, there's a lot of these guys, there's a bunch of Forsaken or whatever, which would be kind of cool. yeah. So also, one more topic, because this was brought up last night and I saw it. The comments were flying by last night in our live stream. The gem that Matt has. I saw someone talking about this the other day, and I just want to clip this up, put it up there on YouTube, get folks' thoughts. The gem that Matt takes off of this IEL, I've still been fascinated by it. There are several different glimpses of it. People are saying they believe it's a replacement for the fox head medallion, that it's something that he picked off of this IEL that might be a replacement for that. And maybe we're not going to go to different realms like the snakes and the foxes, and we're not going to go see the elephant, right, or something. We're going to just get a stone that came from Rudeon or something, and it's something that can block and stop the power. We find out later that Elaine wants to see the medallion because she doesn't understand it, and she thinks she can, you know, she can create Tiron Grial and stuff like that. So she's trying to figure out what is that. So I saw someone say maybe that stone, because Matt, they showed it from the back, they showed it from the front. Matt takes it, holds it up like this, looks at it. It wasn't like he just picked it up a couple of different things that were valuable and put them away. No, this was like and it wasn't just coins. He didn't just grab a bunch of coins off of him. And again, this is an ailment. I mean,
he grabs the little statue, or the little figure.
Right. So I guess if they're making as many changes as they're making, and maybe you can't go to that realm to get those artifacts, he can't go get. Maybe that's too high fantasy for folks, and we can't go do all of that. Maybe the portal stones don't make sense. Maybe we just need to introduce traveling. There are things like that might be taken out because it gets real high fantasy in the Wheel of Time. And it might be easier just to say that's an artifact that we found. It wasn't given to him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to shy away from the realms and shy away from it necessarily being high fantasy, but I do think the whole trip to Rudeon in the books, I now that I'm sort of seeing the way they're possibly setting this up, I think you actually, just by the Tavirin nature, once that really gets explained, which I think is going to get a little more explained in the next episode, because, you know, this whole deal is we keep searching for the dragon, and eventually you're going to have to say, well, hold on a second, if only one of these people is a dragon, how is it that everyone else has all this special stuff going on? Of course, mm-hmm. as book readers, we know, but to the show audience, to your just sort of,
right,
you know, people who don't read the books and are just finding what to binge watch on Netflix and Amazon Prime, you're going to have to sort of explain what it is to be a Tavirian, because, well, hold on, how did Rand knock that door down if he's not the dragon? How did mm-hmm. Nynaeve do this? How did Nynaeve do this thing if, you know, if she's not the dragon? So you're going to have to explain all of that. And so I think they're just going to push forward the idea of them being Tavirin. And I think that gets you out of a lot of trips that we have to take to get specific objects along the way. Excuse me, Rudeon being one of them. And then you can just sort of, you know, they found it because they're meant to find these things. They're meant to find these objects, which is something that automatically happens anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Rand fulfills prophecies because he's meant to.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure, man. So, I mean, that is right. You have to keep that element of the guessing game for show watchers to kind of say, you know, explaining Tavirin and then the dragon, why they're, because that's been a lot. That's been confusing to me, which is, some people are saying there are like one of the five of you. The Dark Friend says one of the five of you. Moraine's looking for four Tavirin. You now have Nynaeve back in. So explaining the difference between those two, and do you have to be Tavirin to be the dragon? Not necessarily, right. But it's working out that that's what the pattern wants. So
do you have to be an Aes Sedai to be it? Because right now, I think we would, for complete show watchers, you're possibly thinking, well, if it is possibly a woman, then you would have to be an Aes Sedai.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. And that's the tower we want to
which
control
is a total showism. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But for sure they want that. And yeah, it's a good point.
Which I think is also something that's kind of interesting. The fact that they're doing this, the idea that it could be a woman, I think makes it even more logical for Leandrin to be doing what she's doing and gentling men. Because if the Aes Sedai in the show obviously believe that a woman could be the dragon, then don't you think they would want it to be a woman that is the dragon and not a man, since they want that gives them more authority to say men should never have this power.
Yeah, well, I think that's also why they're going to take Nynaeve after this episode and say, we're holding on to her. She's coming with us, right? And like, we are now, she is now our new, like, favorite. Like, we love her, and we need to, like, maybe get behind her. It wouldn't surprise me if they push her further, and there's whispers that she could be the one.
Right, and remember, Leandrin just talked to her in this last episode. So could Leandrin now be pushing Nynaeve as the dragon, which could then cause dissent between Moraine, who will, I think, begin to believe it's somebody else, obviously, and Leandrin, and that will also help come to the spoiler, be warned, the fall of the tower, and then we, you know, and the Black Aja, right?
Yeah.
And so you could, you can go down some of those routes too. So the whole, I think the whole idea of opening it up to be a woman gives you a lot of cool avenues to cut stuff up and because we have to condense it.
Yeah, again, because the tower is going to need to get behind. Especially when you bring up the split, there's the idea that you need to get behind someone. The Ommerlin seat becomes a big deal. That position is a position of power. And when the tower splits, that'll be interesting to see how that happens. Might happen a lot sooner than we think. Who knows? We're definitely hearing about dissent among the different Ajahs already. And we see the Reds actually breaking the law and doing stuff that they should not do. So that's the other thing. Like, Loghain will want revenge for what just happened to him because they didn't give him a trial. They didn't do whatever. He feels like he was, what's he supposed to do? Right. I mean, help him.
He's
if anything.
Crying.
Yeah. Help him understand why he's not the dragon or whatever. But like, he's just trying to fulfill the prophecies and be there to save everyone in the last battle. That's not a bad thing to, you know.
Right. And Moraine talks to him and says, why should I believe you're the dragon? And he says, I believe I'm the dragon.
Yeah.
They're telling me how to improve, how to be better.
Yeah.
What else should you do? What else should you do in that situation?
Right. They all are like, there's a loss. There's a big loss in that they don't know. And it was really cool to kind of see that Moraine has that vulnerable moment with Lan to say, I don't know. Because it's always in the books, this Moraine is super confident. You should do this. We should do this. I know very much what we should be doing. But now they've put in this like, well, if she doesn't know, then how do you expect Loghain and everybody? I mean, no one knows what to do here. And this is why the question is so fantastic. Who is the dragon? Who could it be? These individuals are popping up. Like, as the last battle gets closer, the wheel is spinning out some individuals like Nynaeve who can channel. Buddy, who can absolutely channel the one power at a high level. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's we got one here. We got a cool question here. Here's the horn. Do you think they will explore Ta'veren in depth? Moraine has dropped the Ta'veren name once, and Ta'veren is explained in more depth on the explore tab, which is part of those extended features on the Amazon Prime website. Maybe they expect viewers to read. I believe that we talked about this a little bit in our one of the live streams we did, in that I believe that when we meet Loial, being Ta'veren will be more explained, which I believe, I'm guessing, just sort of my personal thought here, is going to be the next episode 5. The episode title says that Perrin and Egwene meet familiar faces, and Rand and Matt meet strange ones. And we know we're going to get Min. There's even a leaked photo of it. We know we're getting Loial. We see him in some of the promotional art. I don't believe there's any promotional art that shows his face, although there are leaked photos of that. But I think that's what will happen is Matt and Rand are, I think the next episode is when you have them meet Min and Loial. And then Loial will go with them to Tar'Valon, unless the whole thing takes place in Tar'Valon, which is possible as well. And then Loial is going to be with us. He's part of the group. He's there in the promotional. You see him in the ways. You see a backside shot of him, but he is there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I think they're going to have to explain more of this in the show. And we need to do more than just read about it, because that we have, like Matt's been saying, we have to balance the idea of the dragon. And then underneath the dragon, you have other individuals who are Ta'veren, and the pattern uses them for a purpose. Let me read something to you guys from the wiki just so you can understand a little bit about this. So, yeah. To Viren, are people around whom the Wheel of Time specifically weaves the pattern with all surrounding life threads. No one is born to Viren. The pattern turns them to be one when there is a need, and they are only to Viren until they fulfill their purpose. So that is interesting, right? Loyal says this life is very unsettling with Taviren for friends. So he's often commenting on the fact that they are Taviren. The Web of Destiny, Moraine has that moment. I think it's coming up actually pretty soon in the series where she talks about the Web of Destiny. So a Taviren is a central focal point for a Web of Destiny in the pattern. These people are spun out and used by the wheel to correct itself when the weave begins to drift from the intended pattern. Since the purpose of Taviren is to influence life threads to create change, the destinies of Taviren themselves are more strictly controlled by the Wheel of Time itself than those of an average person. So these webs of destiny, which there's also a term for that in the old tongue, which I won't even try to pronounce, are almost always arduous for those that live through that age, but are unfortunately a necessity for the wheel. The more change required, the more Taviren that are born. Here is Loyal to Rand in the book. I'll read this to you. The Wheel of Time weaves the pattern of ages, and the threads it uses are lives. It is not fixed, the pattern, not always. If a man tries to change the direction of his life and the pattern has room for it, the wheel just weaves on and takes it in. There is always room for small changes, but sometimes the pattern simply won't accept a big change, no matter how hard you try. And sometimes the wheel bends a life thread or several threads in such a way that all the surrounding threads are forced to swirl around it. And those force other threads, and those still others, and on and on. The first bending to make the web, that is Taviren. And there is nothing you can do to change it, not until the pattern itself changes. The web of destiny, it's called, can last for weeks or for years. It can take in a town or even the whole pattern. So just some interesting stuff on your Taviren there.
Yeah. Friends. And I think it's going to be explained next episode, as because I think we are going, we already have to explain in the next episode, because all of the sort of just show watchers are going to say, I think it's Nynaeve. Well, then what's going on with Matt? What's going on with Rand? What's going on with Perrin? And what's going on with Egwene? Because they all believe any of them could be the dragon, and they're all clearly more than just normal people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why we meet Loyal. It gets explained, and then we sort of can go from there.
Yeah, and major spoilers here too. Last thing on Taviren before we close up here. There are two people that we are going to meet this season who have the gift of identifying Taviren. Not, we've mentioned Loyal and like Ogier being right, sensitive to that, but specifically Loghain and Suwon have a talent, have a gift for seeing Taviren, seeing a glow, or seeing it, like they have, it's a gift that they can see. We have dreamers, like Egwene is a dreamer, someone who can walk in the dream world and all that kind of stuff, and sees things that maybe are to come. So it's different gifts that are given among those who can channel, and it's interesting that those two have that gift. And so you're probably right, we're probably going to see some major conversation about Taviren, I hope.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, we just wanted to pop on here and do some, we had some videos we wanted to record to spice up for YouTube. And we said, you know what, we'll just do it as sort of a mini podcast here. And we'll also just go live because it's a ton of fun to do it that way. So guys, thank you for hanging out with us here today. Thank you for hanging out with us last night. That was a ton of fun. We had like 150 people in here hanging out. Yeah, and crazy. Just absolutely crazy. And thank you guys all for the continued support. Absolutely love it. Don't worry, as and I have plenty more coming. We will be going live next Thursday as well, right when the episode, right, you know, right once the episodes, I'll watch it, and as will be doing a live watch. Yep. As well. And then we'll be back there hanging out, recording more content for you guys. So appreciate all you guys coming in, hanging out, watching. Stay tuned for more. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Be sure to hit that like button. Check out our other podcasts as well. If you guys like Harry Potter, Ez and I run a Harry Potter podcast called The Elder Wand. If you like Game of Thrones, we run a podcast called Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. If you like Star Wars, we have a dedicated Star Wars show called Hyperspace Hangout. And if you want extra content, you can check out Patreon for all of those projects. And you can check out Apple Premium, which if you subscribe over there, you actually get all of the exclusive content for all of the podcasts that we have. I think it's super, super cool. So we really appreciate it, you guys. Thank you so much for watching. And remember that the grave is no bar to our call.